In my early years, I was what would be called a pessimist. The cup is always half full. When I'd go out to the fields to watch the sheep, and we were counting the sheep, 1, 2, 3, 75, 76, 77, right? And we were missing a sheep at the end of the day. I always knew that a lion had taken it away, and my friends and my family would be like, no, 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 count again. And sure enough, the sheep was in the fold where it should be. Everything was always anxious to me. I never really experienced happiness or joy. It was just another anxious day. And one day, we went out to watch the flocks by night. And it was a day like any other. I was probably 20 or so years old. And we're watching the sheep, and the night falls, and all of a sudden, as if it was the noonday sun, a light shone around us. And an angel, the angel of the Lord, stood before us in our field just outside of Bethlehem. And we were terrified. Let me tell you something about the presence of an angel. If you've never seen one, it is a scary moment. We were shaking in our boots. We were quivering with fear. But the angel said, "Fear not, for I bring you good news of great joy." And I remember when he said this, "Fear not, I bring you good news of great joy," that I said to myself, "I don't know what joy is. I don't understand what this joy is." He says, "Good news of great joy for all the world." He says, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a child who is Christ the Lord." And the angel said that we would find the child wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And our minds are swimming with this knowledge, trying to figure out what this angelic visitor is trying to tell us. A baby, the Messiah, the Christ born in Bethlehem. And we had heard stories of this Messiah child that was to be born. We knew what the prophets had said, and we knew that Bethlehem might be the place where he would come. But we didn't think it would be in our day. After he finishes his message, the hills light up, and there are thousands of angels. And they say in unison, a sound that shook the earth, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth, goodwill to men." So we left that place and we went into Bethlehem. And as we went into Bethlehem, sure enough, we found it just as the angel had said. There was a baby. Mother, father, the family, lying in a manger. So my brother told Mary the whole story, the mother. He said the angel had come, what the angel had said, that he would be Christ the Lord, that this child was the Messiah, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the long-awaited Savior of the world. And everyone in the household was kind of murmuring among themselves. And we look at Mary, and she's just sitting there taking it in. Afterwards, we leave, we go back to our sheep, and we can't help but talk about what we've seen. What do you think it's going to be like? When is he going to overthrow the Roman government? See, we had lived underneath Roman oppression my whole life, my grandfather's whole life. We were under the thumb of the Roman Empire. We would pay taxes and taxes and taxes to fund the godless empire in Rome, and we knew that when the Messiah would come, all of that would change. And so I spent the next, 30 years waiting for that baby to grow up. And when he grew up, I knew he would raise the army. And I would enlist underneath this little baby Jesus, and I would be on the front lines because God had brought the Messiah to Israel. And then we hear stories about him. John the Baptist was out baptizing out in the wilderness. And people were coming to him for the repentance of and forgiveness of their sins, and they would come into the water. And the story made it all the way back to Bethlehem that Jesus went out to the water. And when he got into the water, sure enough, a voice from heaven cried out. And the voice said, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him." And I knew that was the day that the army would begin to get raised. I remember telling my friends who had been in the field with me that day, "It's come. The Messiah has come of age. The Messiah has been identified to the public. The voice of God has spoken on Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the anointed one of Israel." And then nothing. You know how disappointing it is, by the way, when your hopes are tied up in this Messiah figure, and then nothing. You know what he does after he's baptized? He goes to poor people and heals them of blindness. Takes lame people and makes them walk again. Finds people who are possessed with demons and casts the demons out. But Rome is ruling now. Rome's in charge now. The Messiah needs to get to work. And we would talk about it. Every time a story would come all the way down to Bethlehem and meet us in the fields, we would talk about it. When is he going to do it? When's he going to get to work? When's he going to go to work? When will the Messiah show up? We heard a story of a dead man, Lazarus in Bethany, raised back from the dead, but still nothing. We still hoped he would be the Messiah. The angels said he would be the Christ. The voice from heaven said we should listen to him, but he was much more interested in teaching people how to live and how to love and how to enter into the kingdom of God rather than establishing the kingdom of God here. And so we just wait. Year after year, hear story after story. Cool stories. One time he went up on a side of a hill. He fed 5,000 men with just a couple of loaves and a couple of fish. Just 5,000 men ate from nothing. I mean, it's cool stuff. I'll give you that. But it's not what we were promised. And the joy that I felt the day when the angel came and said, "Fear not, for I bring you good tidings of great joy for all the world," began to fade. It was the time for the Passover, and we took our flock into Jerusalem. My flock had the lamb that was going to be the Passover sacrifice, a great honor, by the way, for a shepherd. So we go in, we deliver the animals. And then we hear a commotion in the streets of Jerusalem. People are shouting, "Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." We scurry out to see what's going on, and the streets are lined with people, young and old, laying down palm branches, shouting at this Jesus on a donkey. It's the first time I set my eyes on Jesus since he was a baby. It's like every other man across Jerusalem that day. He rides in on this donkey to the acclaim of the people, and my hope was restored in that moment. He's taking the city. The people are with him. The army is ready to go. Pilate will be kicked out immediately. He goes into the temple. And instead of kicking out Pilate, he kicks out all of the Jewish people in the temple who are making money off of the animals, and he runs them out, and then he just disappears. We have to stay in Jerusalem to take the Passover, and so we wait. And a couple days later, we hear that he's been arrested. Not by Pilate, not for inciting an insurrection, not because he was going to take over and take charge, but by our own Jewish leaders, by the Sanhedrin. He was held in chains in the Sanhedrin. He was sentenced to die by them. And they gathered outside of Pilate's house and demanded for the death of this Jesus It's difficult to tell you how confused I was. Because I know what the angel said. And I know what people told me was said when Jesus went into the Jordan River. And now, this Christ, Savior of the world, was going to die. And so the day before Passover, we go out and we see him walking down the street, carrying his cross, being spit on, covered in blood, rejected by the same crowd that just a few days earlier had been shouting, "Hosanna in the highest." I don't have to tell you much about crucifixion, but I want you to know it works. It's undefeated. Every person who's ever gone to the cross has died to the cross. And it didn't take long for the body of Jesus to die. We took the Passover the next day, and then we went home on the first day of the week. And I remember talking to the old-timers who were with me in the field 30 years ago. I said, "Is that it? That's the whole angels appearing to us in the field. That's the end of the story." And I remember I told him, I said, "Well, it makes sense. Nothing ever really changes." And then, you hear the whispers, right? The people start talking about things. The story comes out that he's not in his tomb. That the ladies who were devoted to him went to anoint his body, and he wasn't there. And some people were even saying that he had been seen by the disciples. I said, "I've got to see." So I rush back to Jerusalem. I find where the disciples are gathered. And sure enough, he's risen again. And I think this is the time. This is the time for the kingdom of God to be established. And I stay with them for the next 40 days. I stay in and among the disciples, and I begin to hear the teachings of Jesus. To love your neighbor as yourself. The teaching that Jesus had told to Nicodemus, that if you want to enter into the kingdom of heaven, you must be born again. And that God loved the world enough to give his only son. And that if we would believe in him, we wouldn't perish, but we would have everlasting life. And I began to see that the Messiah wasn't actually what I had anticipated. He was so much better. This child that was in the manger, heralded by angels. The man acclaimed by God in the waters. And the man who died on the cross did so to satisfy the wrath of God on people like me. And I didn't know what was to come, but we were walking with Jesus in Jerusalem. And 40 days later, whoosh, up he goes. Into a cloud, appears, just disappears. We watch him. He's here. He's there. And then an angel appears again. And I remember the word. It says, "Men of Jerusalem, why do you sit staring at the sky? Jesus will return in the same way that you saw him go." It was time to get to work till he comes back. And so I've spent the rest of my life since then getting to work for the return of that Savior. When the angels sing joy to the world, when they told us that there would be joy for all, I see it now. It's not just for those of us who are trapped in bondage. It's for everybody in the world. The joy has come for all who would put their faith in Jesus Christ. And the joy is going to be made complete when he returns again. And so we work today. Today I work in the fields just as I always have, bringing the sheep from here to there. But I always have a mind towards the sky because I know he's coming back. We can have joy today because he's coming back. You may be stuck today and you may be just like I was 30 years ago. Pessimistic. Think there's no hope. There's no chance. There's no joy in this world. I want you to know there is joy because Christ has come. Christ has died. Christ has risen. And Christ will come again. So join me in looking to the sky. He's coming soon. Are you ready for the return of the Messiah? Let me pray. Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you are a God who drew near to us to take on our sins in the body of Jesus Christ, and that you bore our burdens. You didn't just fix our temporary problems of who's in charge and what governments are ruling and our current condition physically. You took care of our eternal position. And you give us reasons to be joyful even in tough circumstances. We may be exiles, strangers in a strange land, but we have a God who has drawn near to us to save. So, Lord, let us fix our eyes on the child Jesus Christ, who took on flesh to dwell among us. And the man, Jesus Christ, who died on our behalf. And on the God, Jesus Christ, who has forgiven our sins through his sacrifice. Lord, I don't know what you're doing in this room today. There may be someone who needs to trust Jesus today for their salvation. This invitation is for them. There may be someone who wants to join this church. A church that's seeking to make much of Jesus. Because he's the only one worth making much of. Whatever it is, Lord, we give this invitation for your name and for your glory. We love you. Amen. Please stand.
Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thy bid become to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, I come.
All right. Well, hey, I'm gonna interrupt what Olga's doing right there. I'm gonna introduce you to the Flores family. Come on over here, Floreses. Not too quick. This is Nathan and Maria Flores and their children, Liam and Mila. And they're coming to join our church by statement. Three quarters of them are joining technically by statement. Nathan and Maria and Liam have all been baptized by believers' baptism. So we're taking them in as new members. If you're excited about having the Flores family join us, let that be known by saying amen. Man, it is a good, good thing. And so what we're going to do is we're going to sing one more song. Y'all can stand back over there. Stay around. People will want to kind of come greet you afterwards. So after the service, come by, get to know them. Wonderful family. I've had them in my Sunday school class. They're a good group. You'll love getting to know them. All right? All right.
Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven. nature see, and heaven and heaven and nature see. You're dismissed. Have a wonderful, warm Sunday. Have a great week. See some of y'all Friday evening for the caroling. And welcome Flores.